Well, we are in the book of Exodus. We're in Exodus chapter 8 today. And I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scriptures, and I want you to follow along with me. Exodus chapter 8, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to be reading down through verse 14. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into the ovens or thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come upon both thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants." Now let me say one thing here. God never does anything without fair warning. We need to pay close attention to that. He never does anything without fair warning. Verse 5, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up from the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt." You know what you call that? You call that double dumb. You've already got a problem and you add to it. That's just double dumb, folks. In verse 8, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me." In modern day language, we would say either hallelujah or praise the Lord. "When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And Pharaoh said, Tomorrow. And Moses said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people, and shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought up against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the words of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank." Now, as we've been going through Exodus, you already know that God was determined to get his nation, his people, the nation of Israel, delivered out of Egypt. You also know that Pharaoh was determined to keep the Egyptians as slaves. You know, I talked about double dumb. It's double dumb to think you can outdo God. For some reason, Pharaoh thought he could. Well, we know, because Pharaoh was determined to try to fight against God, that brought on multiple plagues against him and against the Egyptian people. The frogs is the second plague. If you notice, and I got to thinking about this, and I tried to imagine this every way I possibly could, and folks, it's kind of beyond our comprehension. But the best you can, I want you to try to imagine with me frogs being everywhere. Every square inch of the land is covered with frogs. You can't walk without stepping on a frog. Frogs are in the fields. Frogs are in the streets. Frogs are in your yard. Frogs are in your house. Frogs are in your chair. Frogs are in your bedroom. Frogs are in your bed. Frogs are in your kitchen. They're in your kneading bowl. They're in your ovens. They are everywhere. And if you notice in verse, I believe it's verse 4, it says that the Egyptians were literally overwhelmed with frogs. That's why we can't imagine this. I mean, every square inch was covered. That would be disgusting. I mean, there's just no other word for it. Frogs have their place in the pond, and they're nice and they're cute and all those kind of things. But having them everywhere would be disgusting. Can you imagine going to the kitchen, ladies, trying to cook? You open up the cupboard, and all you get is frogs. You go over to your oven, you open it up, it's full of frogs. You go over to your kneading bowl, and it's full of frogs. You can't take care of your family, can you? You go to bed at night. How are you going to sleep with frogs? Boy, if you can, you're out of it. I'm a heavy sleeper, but I'm not sure I could even accomplish that one. But we need to understand these frogs were everywhere they went and everywhere they looked. Their place was overwhelmed with frogs. It was a horrible, horrible situation. I don't know how many days that this went on. It doesn't tell us. But I'm believing it was 3 or 4 or 5 days before Pharaoh finally got tired of it. But he finally did get to the place that he hated the frogs. And he wanted the frogs moved, and he wanted to get rid of the frogs. But he had a problem. He couldn't get rid of them. We already know his magicians were no help. They could produce more frogs, but if they could have gotten rid of the frogs, he would have called his magician. As bad as Pharaoh hated it, he had to call the man of God. He had to call Moses and entreat him to come get rid of the frogs. That had to be a humbling situation for him. So Moses calls, or Pharaoh calls Moses. Moses comes over and says, okay, you tell me when you want to get rid of the frogs. And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Now, folks, think about this. He could have said, right now. I am sick and tired of these frogs. They are disgusting. They are a nuisance. They're hindering everything we do. We can't eat. We can't sleep. We can't sit down. We can't go in the kitchen. We can't go in the bedroom. We can't go in the bathroom. We can't go outside. Right now. But he didn't. He said tomorrow. Now, on the surface, that looks like the stupidest thing you've ever heard, doesn't it? Why in the world would he have said tomorrow? Believe it or not, I have an answer for you. He said tomorrow for the very same reason that you say tomorrow. But Brother Greg, I don't have frogs in my life. Oh, yes, you do. A lot of us do. Frogs equal anything that is contrary to God's word or God's will. Many of us have frogs in our life, and we need to ask ourselves, how long are we willing to let the frogs stay? When do we want to get rid of the frogs? And we need to look at them as frogs. We need to look at things that are disgusting in our life like they are really disgusting. We glamorize sin anymore in the world and even sometimes in the church to the point that it's not disgusting. Well, folks, it is disgusting. And we don't have time to go into a lot of details there, but we are just as guilty of saying tomorrow as Pharaoh was. Now, there's all kind of frogs. There's big frogs, there's little frogs, there's fat frogs, there's skinny frogs. There's frogs of habits. There's frogs of addiction, frogs of uncleanness, frogs of lust, frogs of greed, frogs of pride, frogs of sickness, disease, poverty, and lack. There's frogs that people can see and smell and hear, and then there's all the frogs that other people cannot see. Those that we have in our heart. Those that we have in our mind. One thing for sure. Pharaoh and his servants knew that they had a frog problem. If you have frogs in your life, even though other people may not be able to see them, and you may think they're well hidden, you still know, and God still knows, you have a frog problem. Now, I can tell by the way you guys are looking at me, you've never heard a message on frogs, have you? Some of you are looking at me like, he had to stay up late to get this message. And just like Pharaoh, Pharaoh couldn't solve his frog problem. You can't solve your frog problem on your own either. So the question is, as we get into today's message, are you sick enough of the frogs in your life to seek God's help? And when do you want to get rid of the frogs? I've heard some people just recently, and as they were telling me this, I even questioned them. Said, why are you waiting? I've had some people tell me, well, as of January 1st, I'm going to do something. Or as of January 1st, I'm going to quit something. And in both of those cases, I asked them, well, why January 1st? Well, that sounds just like a good day. And my response was, well, what's wrong with today? That tells me that we're not committed to getting rid of the frogs in our life. If you're going to put it off one day, then you'll put it off again and again and again and again and again, and you'll never get rid of the frogs. Don't wait another day. Get those disgusting things out of your life. Whatever your frog is, we've all got different frogs. Like I said, those fat, skinny, big, fat, all sorts of different frogs. We've all got different frogs. The frogs in your life do a lot of things, and I'm going to spend just a couple minutes on this because we need to understand this. The frogs in your life, first of all, hinder your relationship with God. You cannot have a frog in your life. And by the way, I kind of gave you a general description. Let me tell you specifically what a frog is. A frog is sin. I said it might be a habit or an addiction or some of those other things. It's anything contrary to God's word and anything contrary to God's will. Anything that's contrary to God's word and God's will is sin. And if you have sin in your life, it hinders your relationship with God. You may read your Bible every day. You may pray every day. You may come to church 12 times a week. But if you've still got a frog in your life, your relationship with God is still greatly hindered. It also hinders your relationship with your family. You may not think it does, but it does. We can take you through the Bible and show you place after place after place after place in the Bible where God said, I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to punish not only your generation, but the next generation and the next generation and even to the fourth generation. Folks, we're talking about some serious stuff today. Yeah, I know we're using kind of the funny term frogs, but we need to look at this as the seriousness that it is. God cannot bless you the way he wants to bless you if you have frogs in your life. And guess what? That's not only going to hinder your relationship with him and your relationship with your family, it's going to hinder your relationship on your job. God may be wanting to bless you in an unbelievable way, but he can't do it because you have sin in your life. And if you want to know what sin in your life will do, go study the nation of Israel. We're going to get to here, not today, but later on. When they got ready to take Ai, they couldn't conquer the land because one man had sin in his life. Now, I can give you a perfect example of how that works. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to tell you this story, but I will tell it to you briefly. Up at New Sulphur, we were trying to buy 9 acres behind our church. We were definitely landlocked. Our church building was actually 3 feet over the property boundary. That's how landlocked we were. God laid it on my heart one night. He said, the church will never get that property until this one specific man gets the sin out of his life. Well, it was 2 or 3 years later, but guess what? The guy finally got the sin out of his life, and immediately, property that the church was begging to buy, they offered this guy an astronomical amount of money, and he kept turning it down and kept turning it down and kept turning it down. Finally, for, I don't know why he didn't take the money, but the land went into bankruptcy. The church got it for like 25% of what we had offered the guy. I know firsthand that sin in one person's life will affect the entire congregation. And again, in the nation of Israel, the entire nation was affected. So let's say you finally have come to the point that you want rid of the frogs. You're sick and tired of every time you turn around, there's a frog. And that's really what happens when you have sin in your life. Every time you turn around, there's conviction, isn't there? That's what's going to make you get rid of the frogs. You come to the place that you say, I'm sick and tired of this. I hate this. There's got to be a better way. Well, when you get to that point, how are you going to get rid of them? Pharaoh couldn't get rid of the frogs in his life. You can't get rid of the frogs in your life on your own. But there's two things you have to do. Number one, you have to make a decision that you're going to get rid of the frogs. They will stay as long as you let them, and unless you make a decision, they will stay there forever. Frogs are not going to move out on their own. The sin, the addiction, the habit, all these things are not going to leave unless you make a firm, solid decision that it's over. The second thing you have to do is you have to agree with God. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. You have to start operating in the spiritual realm. Your flesh may lust after whatever it is that your frog is. But if you're operating in the spirit and you choose to hate that frog in your spirit and you're hating it simply because God hates it and because God calls it sin, then the power of God can move into your life and then God can start empowering you to overcome the frogs in your life. But until you make a decision to get rid of the frogs and until you make a decision to hate it and agree with God that it's sin, it's never going to leave your life. We have some good things in our day and time. We have things like Alcoholics Anonymous. We have places you can go for anger management. We have places you can go for marriage counseling. We have places you can go to get help with cigarettes, if that's what your frog is. We have places you can go to get financial help and all these different things. And folks, those are well and good on their own, but first and foremost, you must have God as the primary help in your life. I've seen people that have gone through these different programs and temporarily got help. But because they had not made a firm decision, and because they did not make God number one in their life and solicit His help and ask Him for His help, before long they were right back into it. It's just like a New Year's resolution. They don't last very long, do they? But an absolute commitment and a decision will. So let's say you get to that point that you're ready to get rid of it. The next thing you need to do is say, I want rid of it today. I don't care if it's the matter of salvation. I don't care if it's a matter of a habit, an addiction, whatever it is in your life. If you say tomorrow, you just let Satan pull his biggest trick on you that he has. Tomorrow, procrastination is Satan's biggest tool that he uses against people, whether they're lost or whether they're Christians. People tell me all the time, well, I know that I need to change this, that, or the other, but I'll do it later. You won't do it later. Concerning salvation, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's today. You have to make a firm decision. You're going to get rid of the frogs today. There have been countless thousands and thousands and thousands of people whose tomorrows never came. Yes, you can look at that two ways. Number one, they didn't live till tomorrow. We all know of people that were killed in accidents, had no idea they were going to die that day. But the greatest number of people whose tomorrow's never come, they say, well, I'm going to do that tomorrow. And guess what they say tomorrow? Well, I'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow they say what? I'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, I'll do it tomorrow. They never get their deliverance because they never say today. Psalms 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Folks, there is absolutely no reason to wait another minute. We need to let God rid us of the disgusting things in our life. And one reason, and I said this already, the one reason that we keep putting it off tomorrow till tomorrow is we don't see it as disgusting like we should. If there's sin in your life, I don't care how minor you might think it is, it's disgusting. Jesus Christ gave his life blood for your disgusting sin and for my disgusting sin. I was saved at the age of 8 years old, but guess what? At the age of 8 years old, I had disgusting sin in my life. You might say, well, what's the worst thing you ever did at 8 years old? I don't know, but it was still disgusting. It was sin. It's the reason Jesus had to come to this earth and had to give his life. So that makes it disgusting. Now, a couple of things I want to point out to you as we start to wind down. And I'm trying not to make this very long today because I just really want to get the point across. Number one, you may have had something in your life that you struggled with for years and years and years and years. But if you'll go to God the way you should go to God and go with a broken and contrite heart and repent and ask him to help you, guess what? He can break the bondage on that immediately. 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 We don't believe that a lot of times. God could do it. It's just going to take some time. No, immediately. It doesn't matter how bad it is. God can break his power over your life. Yes, there may still be temptations, but its controlling power over you is broken. I've got something I'm going to tie that to here in a little while. I told you I've been up a long time. God's put a lot of thoughts on my heart this morning. It's time to put your foot down and say, I've had it. Today is the day that I'm getting rid of the frogs in my life. I don't have to put up with the devil's mess anymore. We need to understand and we need to realize that we do have power over the devil. And we do have power over the frogs in our life, and that we don't have to put up with it anymore. We as Christians, for some reason, think that Satan is stronger than God is. He's not. Guess what? He's not even as strong as you are. We don't believe that, do we? The Bible tells us over, I believe it's in Philippians, neither give place to the devil. Well, if you have to give him place, then he didn't force you out. You stepped aside and let him in. You are, not in your own, but in the name of Jesus, you are more powerful than the devil. We just need to start acting like it and acting upon the authority that God has given us. Now, the second thing I want to share with you, and here's where I really think a lot of Christians miss it. So I want you to listen to me closely. When the frogs died, they were still in the house. They had to be carried out. They had to be gotten rid of. When God breaks the bondage in your life, when God kills the frogs in your life, it's time to take out the trash. I see so many people. God has done something in their life. He has broken this power and this authority over their life, and yet they'll keep playing with it. They'll keep testing it. If you want to look at it this way, if it's a frog, they'll keep poking it to see if it's really dead. You keep playing with it, it's going to come back on you. Get rid of it. Don't let it hang around. If you've got some dead frogs in your life, get them out of the house. Yes, it just like with the nation of Israel, they had all, or not the nation of Israel, the nation of Egypt, they had all these frogs, and they had to pile them up outside, and yes, it was a horrible, stinky situation. But the frogs were no longer in the house. After you go through some things and after you get rid of the frogs in your life, yes, you may still have a stinky, horrible situation, but it's no longer in your house. God will help you work your way through it. But if you don't get the frogs out of the house, the stinky situation is still in your house, and I can guarantee you 99.99999% of the people will fall right back into the same situation they were in. Now, the last thing I want to share with you this morning, Moses tells Pharaoh something that God tells us all through the Bible and all through the New Testament, and we really, as a majority, don't get it. Moses told Pharaoh, he said, be it done according to your words. What was Moses telling Pharaoh? He was telling Pharaoh, the frogs will go when you decide they will go. When will the frogs leave your life? The frogs will leave your life when you decide they will leave. Be it according unto your faith. Be it according unto your words. God tells us that time and time and time again. The lady with the issue of blood, when was she healed? When Jesus decided she's going to be healed? Or when she decided? She touched the hem of his garment and said, if I can only but touch the hem of his garment. And if you read the literal Greek in that, she's saying over and over and over with a determination, if I can just touch him and get virtue and healing out of him, I'll be healed. It wasn't just like she said, oh, I've got to go through and touch him. It was a passion in her life. But when she touched him, Jesus said, who touched me? For virtue has gone out of me. He didn't release that virtue. She drew it out of him by her faith. Folks, we have frogs still in our life, not realizing that they won't leave until we decide they have to leave. Don't let them hang around, even for one more night. You have the power through the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus and through the word of God to cast out any and every frog you have in your life. And God wants you to get rid of your frogs. He wants you literally to get your life back. But as long as there's frogs in your life, you won't have your life back. However long that the frogs were in Egypt, guess what? They had no life. They had no life. None. They couldn't have a life because everywhere they turned, there was frogs. As long as there's frogs in your life, you will not have a life. But Jesus said that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You could put it this way. Jesus came that we might have a frogless life. No frogs. No sin. No anything that's contrary to his word or his will. I'm going to share one other thing with you real quick. We always read the book of Exodus, and God foreknew that Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. Since God foreknew it, you know, that's what was going to happen. But what would have happened if when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, that they may go serve the Lord. And by the way, Pharaoh, you could accept our God as well if you want. Been a completely different story, wouldn't it? My point being there, it doesn't matter even if you're an enemy of God. He loves you. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever puts their faith in me can do the most impossible things. And I shared with you last Sunday, God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. And folks, it's going to take some strong faith to get the frogs out of your life. Now, the invitation today is this. Number one, if you have a frog in your life and you want to come up and let me help pray with you and some of the others help pray with you, we'll be glad to. If you don't feel like you can do that, you can either call me or you can do it on your own, but you have to get the frogs out of your life. They are definitely not God's will for you, and you will never have joy and happiness and peace and contentment with frogs in your life, with sin in your life. We all have to have a frog killing from time to time. We all let things come into our life that try to take over. And it doesn't even have to be anything bad, folks. If it comes between you and God, it's sin. It can just be simply watching too much TV, even good TV. You know, a lot of times we try to make it, well, I don't commit adultery, and I don't drink, and I don't do this, and I don't do the others. Yeah, all that's included, but it's even the little things. If it's sin, it's sin. I said earlier, there's big frogs, little frogs, fat frogs, skinny frogs. There's all sorts of frogs. Don't look at somebody else's frogs. Look at your frogs. And seek God to get delivered from it this morning. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, as we've seen in your word today, it does not make sense for us to let frogs stay in our lives even for one more day. Why Pharaoh ever said, I'm going to wait one more day to get rid of the frogs, we may never know. But that was his decision. And Father, if there's someone here today that has frogs in their life that they want to get rid of, I ask you to give them the strength and the commitment and the determination to do that today. To call out unto you and to repent of the sin in their life. And to ask you to break that bondage that's upon their life and to give them deliverance, whatever it might be. And that they will commit their lives wholly and solely to you. That they could live the abundant life that you want them to live. Father, I thank you for a frog-free life, because that is your absolute perfect will for us, is to live holy and righteous lives the way that you've instructed us to. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.